This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, we just discussed, I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Alice Nyandu. We just discussed the neuroscience of leadership. So you can download that podcast, the previous half hour. But now it's a leader interview, but it's one with a difference, I must tell you. It's Youth Month, and I don't know, youth means different things to different people. But certainly our students are part of the whole youth movement in our country. And in the studio, as I said, we've got Chanel, we've got Daryl, and we've got Musi. They're all from Student Brands. Now, we've got the founder here. This is kind of unique because we were going to bring Chanel in. She's only 23. She's the operations director. I said to her, no, bring some more. We want a bit more of a vibe in the studio, and she somehow brought her colleagues, and luckily none of them are like 50, 60 or old like us. So they
don't need to be de-biased.
Yes. Well, if we look at our previous conversation. Yeah. All right. So, folks, first of all, let's say hello to Chanel. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We were told by Carolina, who organized this, that she's a small but ball of energy. And there's a reason why at 23 she's already taken on this responsible position. But first, before we contextualize, okay, well, welcome, Daryl.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, man. The brainchild, I mean, that's fantastic. We've got you the first half hour of our business masterclass as well. We will talk more about leadership and what you've learned, so I look forward to that. And then, of course, we've got Musi with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen and lady, let's start with Chanel, and then, of course, the founder can jump on board. Student Brands, who the heck is that? What is that? What are they? It tells a lot immediately, doesn't it?
It does, but to break it down for you, there's two very different sides to Student Brands. One is the corporate side, and we basically talk to brands who want to talk to the youth. So we link them up, we give them the platforms to talk to the youth. And then on the student side, we have our student portal, and we need to give the students valuable information that they're looking for, such as where to study, what courses are available to
them. You've got to keep them there, bursary.
And then at a later stage, employment opportunities, internships, etc., when they leave college. So that's where our student side comes from, and then our corporate side. We basically sell branding, marketing, and advertising solutions.
Daryl, I mean, you're the founder. Would you add to that? always add if you're the founder.
I think it's very important to understand that our platform does more than just give back to the student. It allows immediate gratification. So when you're looking for something, whether it's a part-time job, an internship, you go onto our platforms, you engage us once, and then your data is captured and sorted through, and then it's like, okay, this institution is right for you because you chose these certain criteria. But immediate gratification is definitely the key point. You know, we run competitions almost daily, just to interact with the students and get them to understand our platforms, how we work, and the type of value we can give back to them.
So it's the needs of the students. You must understand what they want and what gratifies them.
Yes.
Right now, but they are kind of self-gratification creatures, aren't they? We all are, maybe, but at that age, you're really discovering they've got lots of needs, just left home. So it's a fascinating field that you move in. Musi, you want to add to that?
Yeah, sure.
You sell the organization, man.
Absolutely. So these brands that we do talk to on a daily basis, we sell on the database that we have, and we're saying to them, these students have chosen to receive information from us, so they trust that what we send to them is of value.
Okay. Now,
sorry, by students, who are we talking about? Is it universities or is it high school?
Our target market generally is 17 to 27 years, but obviously that's not where they start. There's a process before that. So we like to speak to them when they're in high school as well, just to figure out what that need is when you do get to college and you are in your first year.
So do many high school students, matriculants a little earlier, do they actually join you?
Yes, they do. Right.
That's what you want, of course.
Yes, very much so. You know, by the time that they're in secondary education, if we already know who they are and what they want, it becomes a lot easier to engage with them as opposed to just showing them. But going back to your previous point, we ask the students what they want. We run surveys every month asking on different industries, what do they want? What do they see value in? What makes a difference to them? Is it price, always price? Is it sometimes maybe a freebie or service or extra support that a student might need?
And they know what they want, do they?
Not always.
It changes over time. A big thing we found out was when you compare interest and field of study, they don't correlate.
Interesting.
Yes.
My concern, though, with what Daryl is saying, he talks about instant gratification. Mm. And obviously, this then means this platform is not your grandpa's platform, because we talk virtue, you know. Good things are well worth waiting for. So, not in this instance, Daryl.
No, not at all. It's only immediate gratification, but it's also a growing. We structure our interns and our jobs based on how frequently you work with us. So you're not going to get a top level internship with a company if you're not prepared to do the groundwork right at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's an investment involved.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're talking of the screen ages here, aren't we? These are teenagers that have gone through the screen period. More and more so these days. But before we go a little bit more around these elements, this is a leadership show, and it's Youth Month, and we have someone in our midst who's 23, and she's already the operations director of a successful business, and we'll find out more about the business as we move along. Why are you, 23 years old, operations director of this business? You tell us why you think you are, because obviously there's leadership there, all right? And then you made it awkward for yourself by having your boss here, who would then tell us why he thinks you're the operations director. Okay, go for it.
I think that I don't ask a lot of questions. I just do. And that's...
So you're a doer. You get things
done. I'm a doer. I have a policy that I don't start things and not finish them. And I think that that's a quality that Daryl saw in me very quickly, in my work. And I try and put a sense of perfection and quality in everything that I do. I give 120%, not just 100.
Have you always been that way since high school, since primary school?
I've always been that way. It's been instilled in me. My parents were very good role models for me. They had a very hard work ethic. And they obviously were a really good example to me. And it carried through.
Carried through. Why is she the operations director, Daryl?
She arrived as an intern. It was all herself. She contacted me directly and said, look, I need to do my internship hours. I'd like to come work at Student Brands. When she arrived, she came with her paperwork and absolutely everything, her grades, copy of ID, proof of address, everything came done and dusted. So I said, well, what do you want to do? So she said, well, I need to clock my 40 hours. What do you want me to do? So I handed her a box, probably a meter wide with students' names and numbers and email addresses written down. And I said, here's your first task. Type these all up. And she did it. And she logged her own hours, and it rolled from there. And at the end of her internship, I said, look, when you finished, if you want to come work for me, the job's open. And in the January of the following year, she sent me an email saying, I'm finished, here are my marks, when can I start? And that was where she started.
What did you study?
Marketing and media studies.
So you promoted yourself as well very well there. Let's talk to the marketer and the salesman. Why do you think she's the operations director? Because we had her, yeah.
Yeah. I think she's said a lot. And it's a no-brainer why she is the sales, the operations director.
No-brainer. Okay. Well, that was
Moose is giving us a political answer. Remember, they still have to go back and work together.
She's spot on. Everything she does, I work a lot with her, like hand in hand. When I get briefs from clients, she's basically the to-go person and making sure that the campaign gets executed.
Mm. Mm. But, Chanel, you're a doer. You get things done. That's part of your nature. But do you see yourself as a leader?
Yes.
How do you view
100%.
Leadership?
100%. Yeah. I don't think that leadership is something that can be taught. I think it's just instilled in you as a person. And I think that in the last couple of years, I've managed to dig within myself and realize that some qualities of a leader lies within me. And I haven't done it alone. I've had support. I've had Daryl and Muzi all the way with me through this. And I think that's the one thing that makes you a leader is having good advisors as well and people who's there to support you. So, yes, I do think I'm a leader, but I think it's not just me. I think it's the people that have supported and played a part in my life as well that's made me that way.
Okay, and you accept, I'm hoping, that even though you're 23 and very talented, we can teach you a lot about leadership, right?
100%.
You must listen to the show every week. Because, yes, we all have inborn leadership, but it needs to be What's the word? It needs to be triggered.
Nurtured.
It needs to be nurtured.
It needs to be brought out. And in your case, you show your leadership by being a doer. And leaders are about doing, about creating movement.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, kudos, although I'm sure anyone would have seen it, maybe Daryl, in seeing that in you. Because obviously you want a young team. Because you deal with youngsters, and you can't put me in there to be your operations director necessarily.
Very much so. And, you know, operations is not just, okay, organizing a location or event or doing pricing or running stuff on the back end. It's actually understanding what the client wants to try and achieve and trying to be able to portray it across into the students. And you've sometimes got to fight that battle of this is what the brand wants to do, but this is actually how the student's going to perceive it. Where do you find the middle ground, which is a task. Hmm. No easy task.
Yeah.
So a question for me, for Chanel. What motivates you?
Can I be extremely honest?
No. We don't want you to be extremely honest. Yes, of course.
Money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Love making money. Love the thrill of closing that deal. Mm. You know, being able to walk away with a nice fat wallet at the end of the month. It's one of my biggest motivators.
Yeah, but I don't agree with you. I think if you're really going to analyze yourself, it's not the money.
It's the ringing of the bell.
Yes, it's the ringing of the bell.
We put a bell into the office when someone closes a deal, they get to ring this bell, which is loud, very loud.
Okay, but it's even deeper. It's a sense of achievement. It's a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Money is a, I don't know, money is just
it's a
proof.
Social construct to measure all that you've just articulated.
Yes. So yes, it's easy to necessarily think it's the money. But it's the achievement. And I'm telling you, if you achieved and you didn't have the money, you'd probably still be stimulated. But anyway, that's another debate.
Yeah.
You like to achieve. You like when something is done and then you guys make a big thing out of it. And in our world, you are recognized through money very often, more so than not.
I do like to achieve, but I think it's more the reward after you achieve.
Hmm.
And that's what money is.
Is it the money or is it what you can do with the money?
It's the money. Having the money. I just like the dollars. I just wanted to sit there and I just want to look at it. It's so beautiful.
It is
definitely what you can do with all the money. And you know, you can use that money to inspire others and to help others. And that's also another thing that motivates me.
Okay, so that's what motivates you. I want us to sit here and feel the pulse of youth in our country. And I'm sure you don't necessarily formally speak for them. But you engage with them, you do surveys with them, you were probably in the heart of this whole Fees Must Fall. So let's try and understand the pulse. I could come from different angles here. I could ask you, what are the latest topics and trends? That's one way of doing it. I could just say to you, how do they feel about the country, the politics, the economics? How would you want to do this? I mean,
what is the state of youth?
What is the state of youth?
Where is the youth today?
What's on their minds? How do they think? So let's just get that pulse a little bit. Who wants to kick off? Do you want to kick off, Musi, and we come this way around?
Sure. I think where the youth is now, the space that they're in, it's more to say, if I am going to tertiary, one, am I guaranteed that I'm going to have a comfortable life? Two, am I actually going to find employment? So that's really what's, I think the dialogue that they're having amongst each other, it's still not, established as to where are they are going. I mean, if we were to talk politics, they were promised free education, but it's not been delivered. But that would be a topic for another day. So they are having that dialogue amongst each other. The question is to when are themselves going to have the answer to that?
So that dialogue, the first dialogue I'm interested in, this mentality of jobs rather than saying, are they getting to a point where they're saying it's not about jobs anymore, it's about starting my own business, like you did, Daryl. When did you start the business?
When I was at university, second
while
year.
At university. Did you watch Carte Blanche last night, anyone?
Mm. Yeah.
There's this youngster, as a teenager, started this website nature of Kruger and all the animal sightings. And it's amazing. He's making money and he's getting millions upon millions of views all over the world on YouTube. But a young teenager, it's an app that he started. It's incredible these days. So our youngsters must take the dialogue from, will I have a job when I have my degree, to actually becoming entrepreneurs. Daryl and Chanel?
A big part is yes, but there's a slight no to it. I think a lot of students do go through is, I've got an idea, I think it can make money, I want to move forward with it. But as soon as I hit one or two stumbling blocks, I go, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I can do this. Let me go find a job. Which is a big drop off. And it's disappointing because we're one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have infrastructure or support to support entrepreneurs.
Enough, yeah.
Entrepreneur has to go through the downfalls, because if you don't learn how a business closes and fails, and you'll never get to that achievement. It's like, well, you can, but it's a lot harder road to get to. And I think that's what it is. It's the perseverance that we don't have that's currently being fought between, should I get a job or should I go for this entrepreneurial side?
Okay. Still, what is the state of our youth? Let's keep going. That's the one conversation happening, understandably. Chanel, any other comments on the state of our youth?
I think that the youth is just trying to tell us that, you know, we matter. Listen to us. That's where they are. And that's the fees must fall thing was a really good example of that. We have something to say.
Yeah, asserting themselves.
And listen to us. Mm. You know, that's all that they want. They want to be listened to and they want to be helped.
But are they being listened to? Musi says there's a conversation that's happening amongst them. Yet the society at large is still looking up to the politicians to be the messiah. And Daryl, on the other hand, is saying the youth should be their own solution. Yet where are the support structures that make it possible that the youth get listened to?
Absolutely. So, well, if we were to talk the brands, the different brands that are out there, whether it be financial institution, whether it be,
retail or whatever.
Retail, whatever the case might be. I personally feel from heading the sales at student brands, and when I engage with these people, they're not forthcoming to us. So one, themselves, they don't believe that the youth wants to be listened. Okay. So it makes it a bit difficult for us to say, well, the youth do want, you know, they,
so
they
are you saying there's a bit of apathy amongst the youth?
Absolutely.
Indifference about what's going on in the country or about their own situation?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
It's definitely a bit of both.
So obviously there must be something wrong there, because we just came out of June 16 and we know what the generation of 76 was all about.
Yeah.
So what is this generation going to be about? That's the question.
We'll have to wait for them to tell us.
But yet you're also saying they are telling us, but we're not necessarily getting it.
And the worst thing is that the telling should not be at a time when you have an explosion.
Yes,
100%. You see, that's what not must guide against.
Okay, so what else? What other conversations are happening in the middle of the youth? You hear a lot of things about let's decolonize, and maybe that's just the radical youth. Then you have other youth that say, "I just want to study. I just want my degree." Are they very trendy focused? What are the trends? What's just more about the pulse? How else would you describe the pulse of our youth, Chanel?
Social media.
Are they serious?
Media.
Are they serious, or are they? That's what they're showing us as well, isn't it? That we're serious.
Yes.
You might think we're just fooling around and we don't have brains and we can't think and be part of the solution, but we're actually serious. You're saying social media.
Social media is a big thing for the youth right now. They're not just using it as a way to communicate with themselves and with their friends, but they're using it as a way to
communicate.
In general. They want to tell you about what they're going through, their experiences, but they're doing it on this platform that might not be so familiar towards the older generations.
Okay, so the medium through which they maybe communicate or release their frustrations.
Yes.
I mean, politicians don't even read their own tweets necessarily.
Exactly. Yes, they are trying to talk. They're using a platform that is very new. And I want to say new. Yes, social media has been around, but
it's still new.
It's growing every day. There's something different.
Oh, that's a good point, eh? So I haven't thought of that exactly. So you make your frustrations known on a platform where the decision makers at the top, shall we say, to some degree, have not connected with this medium yet. And there's a lot of truth. Some are ahead of the game. Some are there. Yeah, but it's not enough. It's not enough, is it?
Can I just follow up with a question to your earlier question? How politicized are the South African youth, do you think? Especially this generation.
Extremely. Extremely. We met with some SRC members a couple of months ago, you know, just to discuss the situations happening on campus. And literally it turned into a political discussion
okay. Absolutely.
Between Muzi and the SFC.
So they're very
president.
Conscious, are they?
They're very conscious and they're very involved in politics.
But in what way? Do you think it's about political issues or is it about political parties? Because I get a feeling we're tired of political parties. We want good leadership. Sure. Or, you know, what do we want? What do they want? They don't seem to be that intimidated by the political leaders as the former generation or us maybe. They don't care about struggle icons necessarily. They want performance. What do they want?
They have no loyalty to this.
They're not bothered by the parties. In my opinion, they are. Let me just try and get this right. Just give me a second.
Can you use any word here?
I think a big part of it is they want change.
Okay.
It doesn't matter the party or who's leading it. Even the leadership, they know that there's a fundamental problem in certain areas, and they need that to change.
Do they know what they want as well?
No,
not always necessarily.
No, they know that there's a problem. Okay. You know, just
unfulfilled promises.
Unfulfilled promises. NASFAS. Okay. Yes. Links.
So from a socioeconomic standpoint, there's a problem.
Yes.
So they accept that.
Yes, but okay. So do we accept that? We know it as a country that there's certain problems, underfulfilled promises. So they want change, but they're using the wrong mediums to do it. Not the wrong mediums, but the older generations aren't linked to this generation exactly.
Or probably aren't listening either.
Yeah. And so there's also not always just a solution. You know, it takes time. You know, to change unemployment, you have to have more educated people. It's not that, you know, companies in South Africa aren't not hiring. Everyone's looking for jobs. I mean, there's thousands of people looking for the jobs. I think we've got that underskilled level that needs to be fixed, that they're looking to try fix, but it's also not an overnight solution.
So can I just ask you this? So in a country where 57% of youth are unemployed, what future does your model or your business have? Is that an opportunity or is it possible?
Well, how does that improve that scenario, maybe?
So very much an opportunity. I mean, we host a platform whereby we assist entrepreneurs in helping them start, you know, by mentoring or giving guidance, providing free advertising where we can, as a company, give back to our user base. You know, as they develop, they then say, we got helped by student brands or they managed to give us this. So we can do our part. And there are a lot of companies out there that are doing their part specifically to try and help. We do obviously have to have government intervene because unfortunately the way South Africa works, if you're not in the major areas, you're kind of forgotten. You know, so you could talk about a UJ or a WITS, but I mean, the outlying FET colleges that aren't classified as universities aren't even thought of. I mean, you only hear about riots or fighting on your main campuses. There's nothing about, this small little institution that's got 60 students has a problem. So I think listening, if corporates are listening, the biggest thing they need to do is listen to the youth.
And the politicians, maybe same advice.
Yes, 100%.
All right, so last 2-3 minutes. Any other comments about where the youth are standing, how they're thinking, how do they feel about politics, and what's the solution maybe? What I hear you say is if we had to send one message to the leadership of the country about the youth, it would be they are trying to communicate to you.
Yes.
Listen to them.
Listen to them, and if you don't know how, call Student Brands. We know how.
How do you connect, and I'll come back to you, how do you connect with your students? What is your method to keep them occupied, stimulated, loyal? How do you communicate?
So I think Daryl had answered that one. So with the prize competitions that we run on a weekly basis, that's one point of doing it. For example, on Thursday, we usually do a Throwback Thursday, and that's where we actually see the engagement as well. So that's one or two ways of how to keep them loyal to us.
Can I ask this? Why do you think brands have struggled or will struggle to go directly to the students? Why do they need you?
I don't think brands struggle. But I think as a company as well, brands probably, they don't think that we're good at what we do and we can execute the campaigns for them, mm-hmm. which puts us in a bit of a situation. If we're saying we're a youth marketing company, a very young company, and all for entrepreneurship, and we want to play our part in the economy by recruiting young people to come join our organization. So my answer to you is that it makes it a bit difficult, because you'd approach a brand and then a brand will turn around and maybe give that brief to one of the leading media agencies that probably they've got 30 years.
Yeah.
And then now we don't have money, we can't recruit.
Sure.
So it's a bit tough as well.
Okay. So your business has a social entrepreneurship element to it then, because there's an empowering aspect to capacitating the youth.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
Okay. But a big brand will still think, you know, let's go with the trusted big agency.
There we go.
And sideline these guys.
Okay. What big brands need to remember is that it's for youth by youth.
Okay. Powerful.
Mm. That's a nice way to say it. It's for youth by youth.
All right.
So, you know, we can.
Daryl, want to add anything?
No, nothing. I think they summarized it very nicely.
So you've been going how long?
Seven years.
7 years. That's fairly new. In today's world, it's actually quite a while. Yeah. You know, things move so fast. Yeah. Brands come and go, actually.
Yes.
In that period of time, as long as they take to establish themselves, that's, or as short as they do, that's as quickly that they come to an end.
So just to get in there, our 5-year plan is that we want to launch into Africa. And then in the next 10 years after that, we want to be the first youth marketing company that's listed with the JSE. And that would be me, of course, making sure that the business has enough funds.
All right. Well,
we'll be here. We'll cover that event when you do the IPO.
We'll connect with you. We've got some thoughts and feelings. And Chanel, well done. 23-year-old operations director. It started having you here and seeing that youngsters can be dynamic leaders. And then having your colleagues in here. Daryl, you're staying on with us now in the Business Masterclass. And by the way, this is an SME Business Masterclass. This is where we create content every single week exactly for those SMEs that you're also trying to establish and
Sounds
help
good.
And assist. So it's good to have you as part of that. And Musi, Tembekwayo, thank you also for joining us. It's been great having you guys here. Just a final, you know, usually we have like a Sibanye executive leadership thought at the end of it. It's just a final inspirational thought, and maybe it's definitely not very relevant to you, although we all have fathers somewhere. It was Father's Day yesterday, and there's a tweet. It's a leadership tweet, but it's being a father is your most important leadership position. You will never be released from it. You'll never be released from it. Happy Father's Day. So that's the leadership thought that we leave with people. The world is crazy. It will very easily distract you from that important leadership position, be it a mother or a father. So we thought we'd leave that as a message. And I'm sure all of you can somehow testify how your fathers impacted you positively and negatively. We're all blessed with that. All right. Next up, it will be our business masterclass, where we have a couple of SME owners listening live in the studio, and they will also engage us, pitch their business for 30 seconds before they do. And we've got Richard Angus, Alice Nyandu, and Daryl staying with us to talk about leadership and being an example as a leader in the SME environment. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.